questions. And it says, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? This is also recorded again in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 26. Jesus said it twice. What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? I notice it didn't say the body. I mean, the body is not the person. The person is the soul. And Jesus says, what will you give in exchange for yourself? A lot of people exchange their soul for a bad habit. A lot of people exchange their soul for pride. A lot of people exchange their soul for self-righteousness. A lot of people exchange their soul for religion. You've got multitudes of people this morning that rather go to hell religious than come to Jesus as a sinner. And Jesus said, what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? A man has a soul. And that soul that every man has is going to do one of two things. It's either going to heaven or it's going to hell. You say, I believe in purgatory. Then you don't believe the Bible. I don't have time to get in that doctrine now, but there's no such thing. There's no such thing, according to the Bible, as an immediate state. When that soul leaves the body, it goes to heaven or to hell. One of the two. Now, Jesus said, what shall it profit a man? Now you know what a profit is, don't you? A profit is something that you gain. That's what the verse says. What shall it profit a man if he gains? Now that's very simple. We all understand that. If you buy something for a dollar and sell it for $2, you gained or profited a dollar. And Jesus is saying this. What do you think you're going to gain if you get everything the world offers and you die and go to hell? What do you think you've gained? Of course, the implied answer is there, nothing. Absolutely nothing. Now, the Bible puts first things first. It always does. And the first thing, and the most important thing, and the greatest thing that every person needs this morning, is not better jobs, it's not better, more money, it's not more profits, not more stocks and bonds. It's he needs to be secured from the penalty of his sin. And if you've got everything else this morning, if everything is going your way, the old saying is, you know, got the world by the tail. Everything's going your way, and you get everything you want, the way you want it, when you want it, and you die and go to hell. Jesus said, what have you profited? There's no profit. It's an absolute loss. This morning, if you hear, and you know all about the Bible, maybe you read the Bible over and over. A lot of folks have. Maybe you're active in church or religion, and you're a part of it, and you give money, and you're faithful. And a lot of folks are. And you're unsaved. It'll profit you nothing because you're going to hell. Now we're talking this morning about salvation. The most important thing this morning that could happen to you is to be saved. Nothing greater will ever happen to anybody than to know that their sins are under the blood of Jesus Christ. Nothing greater has ever happened to you, ever will happen to you. I want you to notice first thing about salvation is that salvation is of the Lord. That's what the Bible said in Jonah 2:9 and Psalms 3:8. Now, we preached a little bit on Jonah last week, but I want to show you in type how a sinner is. Now, don't forget, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 40, I believe, he said that Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the whale so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Now, John is a controversial scripture. You know, you've got a lot of folks that believe a lot of things about it. You got these educated scientists don't believe in no such thing. Say it's impossible for a fish to swallow a man. They say even a whale, the greatest sea mammal we know, couldn't swallow nothing no bigger than a grapefruit. But I don't have no trouble with that, see. I mean, I don't have a, if God said that Jonah swallowed the whale, I'd believe that. If God said it. See? Because he says he cannot lie, don't he? And if he lied one place about something, he may lie in another place about something else, wouldn't he? So I don't believe there's nothing wrong with the Bible. I believe it's the truth. And I believe that Jonah was a prophet that Jesus spoke of that run from God and was swallowed by a whale. So I want to get that clear right now. Alright, in Jonah chapter 2 and verse 9, the Bible says this, "But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pray that I have vowed salvation is of the Lord." Now you'll notice that's the first thing that God wants you to understand this morning. That's the first step that you got to know to be saved, is that salvation's of the Lord. It's not of you. It's not nothing you can do. It's not nothing you can be. What you give or how you live apart from being saved don't make no difference. Salvation's of the Lord. And you notice as soon as Jonah said that, God delivered him from the fish too, didn't he? Huh? Now that's the first thing that you got to realize, that salvation's of the Lord. You're not going to save yourself. You're not going to do a thing to make God look down and say, "Oh, you're so great and done so many great things, I think I'll just save you." If you're sitting back one of those kind, it'll never happen. You'll die and go to hell thinking that you're all right. And I'm afraid we've got thousands of people this morning in religions and churches and non-churches that are sitting back thinking, "Well, God has just got to one day look down and justify my sin." Folks, He'll never do it. He'll never do it. Now, salvation's of the Lord. It's nothing you can do. Now, let's look at the condition of Jonah here when Jonah said this. Look up there in verse 2. Jonah chapter 2, verse 2. The Bible said, Then said I, cry by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. Now Jonah is in the depths of the sea. Now you gotta look at this thing, folks. Jonah is thrown overboard down a ship, and he's thrown overboard, and this big whale swallows him, and this whale starts going down the bottom of the ocean with him. And he said there in verse 3, "For thou hast cast me into the depth of the midst of the sea, and the floods compassed about me, all thy billows and thy waves passed over me." Jonah's in this fish's belly, heading down the water, and there's waves coming over him. He's going down the... And let me tell you something. Jonah knew there wasn't no way out. His only hope was the Lord. And you got people this morning that are out here in this world, and they're in the bottom of the sea of sin, this world. And they're going down and down and down. And they'll never get out except the Lord bring them out. The only hope for you to get out of the depths of your sin is to say salvation is of the Lord. Now, as I said, you got folks, you know, that say, "Well, that's just a kind of a myth or a kind of a joke or something like that. I don't believe that." Then you got another crowd that said, "Well, Jonah went down there, but he didn't stay very long." Let me tell you something, folks. You know what? Jonah stayed down there 3 days and three nights. Jonah died. "Oh, you don't really believe that, do you?" "Oh, yeah, I believe that. Yeah, I do. You better believe it, too." Because Jesus said that Jonah was 3 days and three nights. Now, if Jonah wasn't 3 days and three nights, maybe Jesus wasn't 3 days and three nights. That means the gospel's not effective. So you can get trouble trying to make excuses for what God said and explain it away. Jonah died and went to hell. Hell's down. Heaven's up. He went down. Look there at verse 5. The waters compassed me about even to the soul. The depths closed me around. The weeds were wrapped around my head. The depths closed in. The seaweeds were wrapped around his head. Listen, verse 6. I went down to the bottom of the mountains. The bottom of the mountains. That's the center of the earth. The earth with her bars was about me forever. You know why we call it jail bars? Because that's where a man is. Can't get out. He said the bars were there. How long, Jonah? Forever. He knew he was there to stay. There's no way out. Folks, the bars of sin have got every unsaved man forever apart from salvation of the Lord. And Jonah said, Yet thou hast brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. Jonah's body had begun to decompose after 3 days and 3 nights. Now folks, listen. This body may be took away forever. If you die today, we take your body and put it in the ground, and it's there forever. But Jesus Christ can bring us up from corruption forever, because this morning the Bible says salvation is of the Lord. Now man don't have the source of salvation. It's of the Lord. The only way to heaven this morning is by the Lord. You can't get to heaven by being an astronaut. Man not going to develop nothing or make nothing to carry you to heaven. They've tried it. They're still working on it. They won't make it. You want to go to heaven? You better get saved. Alright? Salvation's of the Lord. Apart from the Lord, there is no salvation. Now I'll show you another place in the Bible about salvation. I want you to turn to Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 3. Jeremiah chapter 3. Let's look at verse 23. Jeremiah 3:23. The Bible says, truly in vain is salvation hoped for from the hills and from the multitudes of mountains. Truly in the Lord our God is the salvation of Israel. Now according to Jeremiah chapter 3 verse 23, the Bible says salvation is not only from the Lord, but salvation is in the Lord. It says, truly in the Lord our God is the salvation of Israel. Salvation is not in a water hole. You got some folks today that think if you get baptized in water, you'll be saved. But I've told you so many times, let me tell you what water baptism does for you. It gets you wet. It don't get you in Jesus Christ, it gets you wet. And you got some folks this morning that say salvation is in a church. Well, let's see. Has a big cathedral somebody's built. They spent millions of dollars on it. Who built that thing? Some corruptible man, didn't it? Then if salvation in there, then man has the source of salvation, doesn't it? So that's foolish to even think that. Yet you got people who believe that. You got some more people that believe salvation is a denomination. Now I'd be a fool to stand up and tell you unless you become a Baptist, you're going to hell. Because I think most Baptists are going to hell too. It's not in denomination. It's of the Lord and it's in the Lord. Now let me show you something. Just to show you, just to back up that statement, let's do it in Galatians just for a minute. Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, and look there at verse 26. Galatians 3:26. It says, for you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Now look at this verse here. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. As many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. You got somebody say, that's talking about water baptism. Well, that's talking about water baptism. That time you get in the bathtub, you put on Christ, don't you? I mean, you got to be unusually stupid to believe that. You say, well, how does it happen? It's of the Lord. Man can't put you in Christ, and man can't take you out of Christ. It's something God does. And you got the crowd, you know, and say, well, I don't believe there's no hell. What does it mean to be saved? What is salvation? Salvation is God delivering you from the penalty of your sin in hell. Well, I don't believe there's no hell. Well, let me show you how ignorant that sounds. If there's no hell, why is there a ministry? If there's no hell, what are we doing here? If there's no hell, what does God call preachers for? What's the use? Show you something. You know, hell is in the Bible in the New Testament 22 times. It's in the Old Testament 32 times. And I know, over in the Old Testament, sometimes Sheol means grave. I know it means pit several times too. But New Testament means fire. Jesus said it's like Gehenna. Gehenna means lake of fire. That's the Greek word for it. And he illustrated hell, the lake of fire, like a city of garbage. That's where you put all the unwanted, all the garbage, all the useless things. See, unsaved people are useless. They're garbage as far as God's concerned. Apart from Jesus Christ, you're worthless, hopeless, and useless. And you're going to the garbage. God's garbage is the lake of fire. And that's what Jesus said over in Matthew. Now, you call me garbage? No, I'm not calling you garbage. But apart from Jesus Christ, you're going to be act treated like one. See? I'd rather be saved, though, folks. Listen. In the New Testament, if I remember right, heaven is mentioned over 300 times. Now, I've never met a person say, I don't believe there's a heaven. You look up and see it as a heaven. I mean, that thing up there, up over you, man, it just didn't appear. It's something, it's heaven. Huh? And I've never seen anybody say, I don't believe in hell. But the same God that said heaven over 300 times said hell 52 times in the Bible. And the same God that said, come unto me, all you that are laden and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest in Matthew 11:28, it's the same one that said over in Revelation chapter 20, whosoever name was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. I mean, if I didn't believe there was a hell, I wouldn't get up Sunday morning, come to church, study the Bible. I'd go out and have a good time. I'd go out and do something different. But I believe there's a hell where unsaved men and women are going, and I believe the only hope, according to this Bible, is to be saved by Jesus Christ. And if I thought it was in a religion or a church or a building or a denomination, I'd jump in with all fours. Now don't misunderstand me. I believe saved people ought to go to church. I believe if you're saved, you ought to go to church. The right kind of church. And if you're saved, God will show you the right kind of church. But folks, salvation is not found in a church. You can go to church all your life and die and go to hell. I've heard of ordained deacons in churches being ordained for 20 years. And then realizing they're unsaved and getting saved. I've heard of preachers preaching for years and then getting saved. It happens all the time. There's churches in this town this morning that's filled with people sitting on the pews out there that's unsaved and going to hell. You say, that's hard to believe. Then you just stick around a little bit. You got people today that are sitting back in religions and denominations, hoping and looking and thinking that somebody, somehow, some way is going to do something about salvation. But folks, they ain't going to do nothing. God's already done everything that'll ever be done to keep your soul from going to hell. Say, what is that? Let me show you. Let me show you. Take your Bible and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 just for a minute. I say a minute, I may finish up here. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It says in verse 1, Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which I also have received, and wherein you stand. Now let me show you something here, folks. Listen to me just a minute. I don't know if anybody here is more unsaved or not. But I want to make this thing real clear. And this is an answer I get a lot of time, a lot of people. I talk to them and tell them about the Lord. And they'll say, well, I believe in God. Well, go out there on that road and stop 20 cars. And I'm sure that every one of them will say, I believe in God. But you can believe in God, and you can believe about God, and be as lost and going to hell as you can. So I don't understand then. Now look what this verse says. It says in verse 2, by which also you are saved if you keep in memory what I preached unto you. You know what Paul preached unto them? He preached the gospel. And he said you got saved by it. And he said, unless you believed in vain. Now you know what this morning? You know you can believe in God, and you can believe about God, and you can believe in vain. You know that? Well, I don't understand that. Okay, I'm going to make it very simple. I'm going to show you to you. You can believe there's a God, you can believe about God, and be lost in the next fellow because you believe in vain if. Look at verse 3. For I delivered unto you first of all that which also I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. The Bible says, according to the Scriptures. Unless it's according to the Scriptures, it don't matter what you believe, it don't matter how sincere you are about it, how honest you are about it, if it's not according to the Scriptures, you believed in vain. Now Paul qualified that statement two times. In verse 3 there, and in verse 4. Now according to the Scriptures, what's the first thing a man's got to believe? Verse 3. According to the Scriptures, Christ died for our sins. Now let me show you something right here, folks. According to the Scriptures, if you don't believe that, you're just as good as in hell right now this morning. If you don't believe that Christ died for our sins, the only thing that's keeping you from hell right now is one heartbeat. Because you die thinking that some other way apart from the death of Christ, you're justified, you're as good as in hell. Christ died for our sins. Well, then that means that if Christ died for our sins, it must mean you're a sinner. I mean, it didn't say that Christ died for those that had sinned. It said in early, he said that Christ, if one died for all, we conclude that all were dead in sin. Christ died for our sins. That means that you are a sinner. And Christ had to die for you. The just for the unjust. And your only hope this morning is not what you're going to do, not what you have done, but what somebody else has already done. You can't do a thing about it. Alright, what's the next thing according to the Scriptures? Now don't forget, Paul said this, that if you believe anything about the gospel that's not according to the scriptures, you have believed in vain. You say, I believe in God. I believe there's a God. But according to the scriptures, Christ died for our sins. Number two, according to the scriptures, and that he was buried. Well, you buried dead people. If this modern crowd is right, and he just passed out, or just swooned, then me and you don't have a salvation, no way to be saved, do you? He died and was buried. Now up to here, what I've just said, that Christ died for our sins and was buried, I could be talking about almost anybody, couldn't I? You got nuts every now and then to come out and be in the paper and say, nail me to a cross, I'm going to die for the world. Just read that, I saw one in the paper. You always got some idiot that's coming up saying, I'm the one, I'm the way, you know. Like this big nigger daddy Grace, you know, it said, I'm the way, you know, and had all these people following it. You're always going to have these nuts. Now, up to here, Christ died for our sins and was buried, could be a lot of people. I got a daddy that died and was buried. I got a brother that died and was buried. I got a mother that was died and was buried. But boy, look at the rest of that thing. And rose again the third day. And that's God's receipt to the world, that the only way you can be saved is through the death and resurrection of somebody that died that was better than you are. How many of you know somebody that died and was buried and rose again? I mean, Mary didn't die and buried and rose again. Mary's still in the grave. So Mary had to have Christ die for her sins too. Apart from the blood of Jesus, Mary would go to hell like me and you if you die without Christ. Salvation is not in Mary, folks. Salvation is of the Lord. And salvation is according to the scriptures that Christ died for our sins. He was buried and rose again the third day. That means that the resurrection proves the mere fact that Christ had to have been right, he had to have been holy, he had to have been God. If he'd have been a sinner, he wouldn't have resurrected, would he? And you die without Jesus Christ, and you'll never see life either. And notice, it says that Christ died for our sins, he was buried, and he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. And the Bible says all scriptures given by inspiration of God. And God didn't only give us his word to tell us that. He says there in verse 6, and after that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once. Have you ever read a book or know of any book that can tell you there's at least 500 eyewitnesses to tell you that George Washington was the first president of the United States? Well, we got an infallible record here of over 500 people that saw Jesus Christ when he was crucified and saw him again after he come out of the grave. Now, according to any law of any land, if two or more can witness something, it stands established. And also, according to the land, of the law of the land, anybody's right that's not ever refuted stands true. This has never been reproved. 500 saw him after he resurrected from the ground. He appeared that night before Thomas and he said, Thomas, you don't believe it? Touch it. Touch the scars. Put your hand in my side where that spear went in if you don't believe it. God ain't going to show you a sign. God ain't going to knock you down, ring bells and that, You're going to get saved by believing that, or you're going to die and go to hell. Yeah, well, my church says this. You better get out of that church. Don't tell you that. They're going to take you to hell with them. My preacher don't believe that. You better leave that preacher. You'll go to hell with him. Anybody tell you salvation is apart from Christ dying for our sins and he was buried and rose again the third day, you better leave him alone. You'll follow him to hell. I don't believe that. That man in Luke 16 didn't believe it either, did he? So he lifted his eyes in hell. He's still there. John said, the bars will compass me forever. He was there forever until God said, hey, fish, take him back. And brother, they put that body in the ground. Unless God one day calls your name, you'll lay there and rot forever until that day when God says, all right, soul, come up. And you'll come up and stand before God there, and you'll give your wicked, ungodly, justified excuses, and God will say, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you, and you'll be cast off in the flames of hell forever. Don't sit back and think because you believe as a God, you're okay. You believe according to the scriptures, or you believed in vain. What's wrong with me this morning? I knew you'd all look when I said that. Same thing wrong with you. You know why we got trouble, despair, sorrow, burden, heartaches? Why the only future I got to look forward to in this world is a coffin one day? Called a sin. Huh? You know what your future is this morning? My future looks good. Yet Undertaker likes your future. He's going to get you one day. Folks, according to the scripture, Jesus took care of that. Glory! I wasn't a Baptist, I'd probably shout right there. I won't embarrass some of you, though. According to the scriptures, folks, sin will never, never ruin me because I'm saved by God's grace. And the only thing that saved me was one day I saw me, not you, I saw me as a sinner that was hopeless and helpless and couldn't do a thing except trust what somebody else had already done. And that's what I done. And you know what he done? He saved me. Now I ain't a sinner going to hell. Now I'm a sinner going to heaven. And you know the only way you'd never be a sinner going to heaven is to believe that. So my religion's good as yours. Well, if that's all you got, it may be. But I won't see you in hell because I don't have a religion. I've got a Savior. I got a crucified, buried, resurrected Savior. I don't have a corruptible, stinking religion. I ain't trusting no religion. I ain't trusting no church. I ain't trusting nothing I've done. I'm trusting the fact that Jesus died for my sin. And if I go to hell, then God lied to me. And he said, you cannot lie, don't you? You want to sit back and go to hell trusting your religion? I'll see you later at the white throne judgment. But I'm going to heaven. Now, you don't know that for sure. Yes, I do. I got in my hand the truth of it. So you can't believe that Bible. I can too. Maybe you can't, but I can. Because I know what it done for me. I know what this Bible done for me. I know what it does for me every day. You might change somebody else, but boy, you'll never change what this Bible done for me. If I was alive this morning, I'd be drunk somewhere if I was alive. But this Bible took care of that. Brother, we got a Savior this morning. His name is Jesus Christ. This morning, the source of our salvation, the Bible says, it's the Lord. It's the Lord. And not only salvation is in the Lord, and not only is salvation of the Lord, but salvation is a person. And that person is Jesus Christ. Let me show you something. There's a man in the Bible that held salvation in his hand. And he was a smart man too. I mean, he's a smart man. Let me tell you something. A man don't believe salvation in the Lord, he ain't too smart. You know, the Bible says the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. In other words, when you start believing that apart from Jesus Christ, God will send you in hell, you're getting smart then. You're starting to get smart. So, oh, I got a college education. Well, you may have a college education, but if you don't believe salvation's in Jesus Christ, you're pretty stupid right on. Now look at Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. And I'll show you this man. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 25, the Bible says, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him." All right, verse 26. The Bible says, "And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord Christ. And he came by the Spirit unto the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. Now listen, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation." The only way a man can depart from this world in peace is to have seen God's salvation. Huh? Have you seen God's salvation? Do you know God's salvation? Huh? If you don't know Jesus, folks, you don't know God's salvation. You missed. God's salvation is in the person of Jesus Christ, because it was Him that paid for our sins. It was Him that hung on the cross. He's the one they buried. He's the one that resurrected the third day. He's the one that saves us. He's the one that's coming back for us. He's the one that'll judge every man that says no to Him. Now, you know what? You got people this morning. You got preachers and people that try to make it so hard. Oh, they try to make salvation such a big thing, you know. You got these bunch of, what do they call themselves, Mormons. And they take them from children, they train them. When 8 years old, they baptize them, give them some more training, then one day they just automatically get in. See? Folks, you know what the Bible says about that? God's made it so simple that Paul said the wise are going to go to hell trying to figure it out. Listen, you know the majority of people this morning that are saved are simple people. If God had made it where you had to have a college education, most folks wouldn't get it, would they? If God would have made it where you had to have a certain amount of money or a certain standard, I don't know of anybody that would make it. But God made it so simple, didn't He? He made it so simple that you got to be just plumb, ungodly, unbelieving to miss God's way of saving you. You know what He said? He says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him." And that's how hard it is. Believeth in Him. Believe in who? In His Son. His Son is the one that paid the price. He said, I believe there's a God. Yeah, you believe in Him and you believe about Him. But do you believe that the only way you can go to heaven is trusting His blood as a payment for your sin. Have you ever really trusted that? If right now you're going to die, you say, you got 5 minutes to live, where will you go? And you say, I don't know. Why don't you know? Because you hadn't trusted the one you know. I can answer that. I can answer that. So how you know you're going to heaven? Because I'm not trusting nothing, absolutely nothing, nobody, nothing in this world. The only thing I'm trusting this morning to send me to heaven is the blood of Jesus Christ. If I stood before God right now and God said, give me one reason why I shouldn't put you in hell, I'd say, because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And according to this word, God would say, your sins are under the blood. I have no charge against you. That means I'm just as pure and just as right in God's eyes as Jesus Himself. And I know He was right because He came out of the grave. And God justifies our sins not on the fact that you're so pretty good, and not because you joined up with something, and not because you give to the community chest and the Red Cross, but because Jesus died for your sins and you trust Jesus' blood as a payment for your sins. And apart from that, do all you want. Give all you want. Do the best you can. You're going to hell. And Jesus puts first things first. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? What would you exchange your soul for this morning? Suppose the devil comes to you and says, see this world? Anything you want, you can have it. Only I want your soul. I wouldn't trade nothing. Not a lot of you are trading a lot less than that. The majority of the world this morning is trading for a lot less than that. Folks, if there's a God, there's a heaven. If there's a heaven, there's a hell. And there's both. And if the Bible is true, and it is, Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, the Bible says, the Lord God formed man from dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Say, you don't believe in evolution? I'm saved. You can't be saved and believe in evolution. Say, maybe Darwin was right. Darwin would be in hell. Man became a living soul. Ecclesiastes 3:14, we know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. God created man a living, eternal soul. And this morning you have a corruptible body that one day may go to the ground, but you've got a soul that's going somewhere forever. And where it goes forever depends on what you do with the blood of Jesus Christ. What shall it profit? Now listen to me. What shall it profit? What are you going to gain? What's the world going to gain? What's a nation going to gain if you get everything you want exactly how you want it? And when you want it, and you die and go to hell, that is an absolute teetotal loss. You talk about a profit and loss statement? You want to show a profit? Get saved. You want to go to hell? Sit back and just say, I'll take my religion. Okay? I'll take my church. I'll take my goodness, and it'll take you to hell too.